And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he, back from Dallas, Texas, where I met a whole bunch of our listeners. I mean, a lot of our listeners were at this event down in Dallas and came up and spoke to me and said, I listened to AFR, and it was really wonderful. And so I want to thank you all again for your prayers and your support and all that you all do to make our network a success. We are truly grateful and humbled, by the way, by the support that you give us. We know that this is ultimately all about God and all about our country and all about trying to uphold the values that we believe in, the things that are right and good and decent. Ultimately, not about us, but we are certainly thankful. I know I can probably speak for every host on this network. We are honored to be a part of this great enterprise of being able to have an impact on our country and on the social and cultural environment that we are all living in right now. So thank you all so much. Now, look, to add icing to the cake, I just last night got word that we, you know, our podcasts are very, very important because they give us a sense of your engagement and your involvement. And we've done very, very well with the podcasts. And I want to thank you all. We got a report yesterday of just a blockbuster report of podcast engagement. So thank you all so much for that. And little old me, who is I'm relatively new to the network, I'm beginning to climb up there. I'm beginning to get up there too. And so, you know, thank you all for that. Thank you all for going to the awakening and checking out some of the podcasts. We really do appreciate that. So I'll take this moment to remind you again of how important that is to us. And anytime you hear a program, and we hope that there are plenty that you hear that way. I certainly hope so for the awakening, that there are plenty that you hear that think, man, that's really memorable. I really want to listen to that again. And to be honest, folks, it's not just what we as talk show hosts say. Sometimes it's something that a caller has said that you just think, wow, that was powerful. And you want to hear that again. So that we're there. The podcasts are there. They usually go up a couple of hours after the program is broadcast and completed. And so you can go to afr.net podcasts. You'll see it right there on the homepage. It wouldn't be hard to find at all. And then you can look down the line and see which program that you heard something that you want to hear again. And I just think it's a great tool to witness to people, to help people, to talk to people and say, hey, you know, why don't you listen to this podcast? Why don't you go on afr.net and listen to this and see what you think of it? And you never know. People might get a different perspective. You know, the most gratifying thing that ever happens to me, and I'll give you two different kind of iterations of it. When I got saved, one of the things I found out as I began to walk out my salvation was that the most exciting thing that I ever see happen in the body of Christ is not some great healing, and believe me, those are great. It's not some breakthrough miracle for somebody's life, and that's great too. I mean, those things are wonderful, so please, I'm not minimizing that. But it is seeing someone's life transformed by the power of God when they accept salvation through Jesus Christ. I mean, to me, there's simply nothing more exciting than that. Because you know that makes an eternal impact on that person. Anything we do for a person in this life, well, it may last a lifetime perhaps. But if it's not of eternal significance, it won't last past that. And in many cases, it won't last that long. But salvation is eternal. And I you know, for years, I'm a little bit better at it now. And of course, we're doing things differently now than we once did. A lot of churches are no longer using the Billy Graham style where you ask people to stand up and walk to the altar. I still do that, by the way. But a lot of churches do not. And that's not a criticism. It's just, you know, this the way we've evolved taking people in. But I remember I would just sit in church and watch somebody walk down that aisle to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Just cry. I mean, just tears of joy for that person. Well, you know, there's a second iteration of that. And it is when somebody comes up to me and says, you know what? You changed my mind. You changed my thinking. Particularly when someone who was in a liberal bent or someone who was just kind of voting, putting on the blinders and just voting Democrat and not even thinking about the issues, just feeling, well, that's the way we're supposed to vote, either because of race or because of the history of your family or whatever it is. And to have someone say to me, you know what, you changed my mind. You really got me thinking, and now I'm doing something different. Folks, a second to salvation, that's about as good as it gets. It really is. And because, you know, that's really why we're here. I mean, we're not here to impress people or to be celebrities or to be known. I mean, we're really here to try to make an impact on people's lives. I figure every day I get up and at the end of the day, lay my head on my pillow. If I can't have done anything to inform, to inspire, to give insight into God's truth, to impact a person's life in some long-lasting way. Wow. Folks, that's a pretty good day. You know, that's a pretty good day. I mean, that's a day of rejoicing. And I know we all hope that when we stand before God, there's a lot of fruit and a lot of harvest from things that we've said and done and tried to do to have an impact on the lives of others. And so it was a wonderful evening last night, and then to get the news about how our network is doing in terms of podcasts and how our programs are doing and how my program has been here a year but is doing very, very well, just all good stuff. And I want to thank you all for it, because you all are really responsible for it, and we just bless you in the name of Jesus. Look, there's a lot to talk about, isn't there? I'm sure. Well, before I get to Queen Nancy Pelosi Marie Antoinette, before I get to her, you know, yeah, let them eat cake. You know, my producer told me a couple days ago that he had read on CDC report about the reevaluation of these COVID-19 deaths. And when I heard it, of course, I know my producer, and I know you're telling me the truth. I didn't doubt it at all, but I wasn't ready to talk about it at that point. I didn't have, you know, any background to it or anything like that. So the last couple of days, I had a chance to do some of my own research and look into it. I found some rather shocking news about this whole COVID-19 situation. That's right there in the CDC. And you know, what my question now is, why isn't this front page news? Say, well, what is it? You know what? Just stand by. We're going to get to that when we come out of this break, because I don't want to start into it now and not have time to give it its just due. But shocking news, shocking to some, sort of confirming the suspicions that many of us have had about the nature of the reporting that we're hearing. And of course, the mainstream media is not going to tell you what I'm about to tell you, because they don't care. They, in fact, they don't want to tell you that, because they're simply not interested in any narrative that's based upon truth that doesn't manipulate people the way they want them manipulated, doesn't want people thinking and feeling the way they want them to think and feel. And of course, I have to add this, they don't want to in any way say or do anything that they think will help this president. They only want to hurt him and try to make sure he doesn't get reelected. So therefore, you have to filter all that stuff that they say. And right now, they're ignoring a big one, and I'll bring it to you when we get back. Stand by.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Protesters in the streets want to defund the police. Politicians assure us that that doesn't mean complete defunding, but it does mean that they will reduce the size of the police force. These intentional actions have unintended consequences, but not unexpected consequences. You can see that in a chart created by Joseph Sullivan that predicts the side effects of Seattle's intended reduction of police officers. The city council in Seattle voted to enact what one New York Times reporter described as the most ambitious overhauls of policing in America. Using layoffs and attrition, they expect to shrink the police force by 100 officers. Using a study from the Journal of Public Economics, you can begin to estimate the number of additional crimes that will likely surface in Seattle. Multiply the number by 100 and you can calculate the expected number of additional crimes. That would be 10 additional murders, 53 additional rapes, and 198 additional robberies. But that is not all. Fewer police officers mean that there would likely be fewer traffic stops. That would mean less interaction with minorities, which sometimes do perpetuate racial inequalities, but it also means fewer speeders, drunk drivers, and distracted drivers will be stopped by police. That would make even driving more dangerous in Seattle. Seattle is just one city that is setting out on a societal experiment by reducing the police force. It is possible that these calculations, based on national averages, may not apply to the city. But the city council is making the assumption that fewer police officers will make their city safer and is the best way to address racial inequality. I think they're taking a big risk and putting more Seattle residents in danger. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of the booklet, A Biblical View on Pornography, go to viewpoints.info/pornography. That's viewpoints.info/pornography.
Well, these are certainly tough, tough times, aren't they? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. You know, I'm grateful that God has given Bible League a platform for more than 8 decades to address the other pandemic, and that's the shortage of Bibles all over the world in places like Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America. In fact, at Bible League, we determine that as few as 1 Christian in 10 has a Bible. What's that mean? That during this pandemic, many evangelical Christians elsewhere in the world cannot open their Bible and be reminded of God's promises, like 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. But you know, during this time of sheltering in place, we can shelter in grace. Learn how you can be a blessing to believers around the world praying for a Bible by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
Brian Fisher here. Nancy Pelosi goes to the hairdresser without a mask, but won't let anybody else do it. A Democrat tells us how he committed voter fraud for decades. A regressive admits Trump will win on Election Day, but lose after all the late mail-in ballots are counted. And Democrats want to take down the Washington Monument and the Jefferson Memorial. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
In fact, folks, I'm going to try to take note, and I'm not going to do it on every program, but I'm going to try to take note when I think something very, very special happens on a program and say, hey, I think this is a great program to share with others in our podcast archives, just to keep that out there, because it helps us, I believe it will help you to reach other people, and that's what this is ultimately all about. We want to reach those who have not yet been reached. Look, what I'm about to tell you is not something I read in some conspiracy magazine. It's not something I read in some quote-unquote, this is the way the mainstream media likes to label us, excuse me, far right wing publication, you know. I mean, look, if you believe in God and you believe the Bible, you are far right wing. It is so silly. But even that, I haven't read this in some sort of conspiratorial magazine. This comes straight out of the CDC reports itself. And folks, you can go to it. There are a lot of charts and there's a lot of reading that you've got to get through. Not that much, but you're going to probably have to read for a little bit to get to it. But the CDC is reporting that of the 180,000 deaths, only 6%, may be attributed solely to COVID-19. 6% may be attributed only to COVID-19. Now, folks, what I want to know is, why isn't that front page news on the New York Times and in the Washington Post, or as I prefer to refer to it, in the Washington Compost, or the New York Lying Times? But why isn't that on the front page of every mainstream or the homepage of every mainstream media outlet? In fact, it goes on to report that in the remaining deaths, there is an average of 3 comorbidities involved in that person's death. In other words, and we're not just talking about 3 other potential maladies that could cause death. We're talking about 3 other things attributable to that death. 3 other things. Now, that's on average. That means there's always at least one. But in some cases, there could be multiple things beyond 3, 4, 5, 6. But the death is labeled and compiled as a COVID-19 death. Folks, that is a staggering fact. Now, I said shocking in the sense that the CDC is actually reporting this, but it's not surprising, is it? Because it's what we've been talking about. These are the suspicions that we've had. I wonder what's going to happen next about false positives. Because remember, the NBA had 77 false positives in their testing of NBA players. 77. Not 1 or 2, 77. So what's next? Are we going to now hear that, well, of the, you know, however many million cases we've got, you know, 96% of those are probably false positives? I don't know. I'm just making that number up. But 6%, folks, that means 94% of COVID deaths could be attributable to something else. And you've got these people running around wanting to shut down the whole country. And Joe Biden saying, well, if the scientists tell me to shut it down, I'm going to shut it down. Well, first of all, he doesn't have the authority to shut it down, A. And in fact, to tell you the truth, folks, I think it's really time for Americans to stand up and say, hey, look, you know, enough is enough. Enough is just enough. You know, I traveled for the last 2 days and I spent, oh my goodness, probably 6 to 8 hours on airplanes in the last couple of days. And well, 6 to 8 hours on airplanes, probably another 2 to 4 hours. So say somewhere between 8 and 10 hours in an airport in the last 2 days. And I had to wear a mask the entire time. And let me tell you something, that is no fun. It really isn't. It's no fun. Look, if it helps save the lives of my fellow Americans, I do it gladly. I'm serious about that. I really am. I don't want to put anybody in jeopardy. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want anybody to become ill as a result of any action that I would take. But I'm simply not convinced. And I keep hearing more and more information that causes me to be skeptical. So at some point, people like de Blasio running around saying, we're going to keep restaurants closed until there's a vaccine. Well, basically, what he's going to do is just destroy New York, because that means no theaters open, no restaurants open, basically no tourist events open. The city is going to collapse in on itself if people who are paying taxes start saying, you know what, I've had it with this city. I'm gone. He's going to be left there holding the bag. He will have single-handedly done what Fidel Castro did to Cuba, was basically destroyed the economy. Of course, that's his hero, so he probably would be glad to be able to be named among people like Fidel Castro for having destroyed a capitalist economy, because I think he hates capitalism anyway. That's probably in part why he's happy to see businesses close down. But it's all based in what we're learning more and more to be lies and exaggerations. You know, aside from wearing a mask, which I do because I don't want people to think I'm disrespecting their lives. I mean, but this whole idea, now look, the whole idea, why are we all wearing masks? Because we might get coronavirus and die. Well, this statistic I just shared with you shows that's highly unlikely in any event. People who are already sick of other things, yes, they may be vulnerable to, but that's the nature of life anyway. If you are already sick, you are vulnerable to opportunistic infections. That was the case before there was a coronavirus, folks. And to treat all of us like we're going to die. Watch it. Don't watch it. Don't get too close. In fact, I had to chuckle because American Airlines, which I have flown the last couple of weeks, you know, Delta leaves the middle seat open, okay, for social distancing. Now, of course, that means the two aisle seats. I mean, you're not sitting 6 feet from each other, the two aisle seats. I mean, come on. You're sitting maybe 2.5 feet, maybe 3, but you're definitely not sitting 6 feet from each other. Then you'd have to skip the aisle seat in every other row for that to happen, or for even to come close to that. But at least Delta is leaving the middle seats open for now. But American, they're filling every seat. So here's what you get at the end of a flight, and I was on a couple of them, jam-packed. I mean, shoulder to shoulder jammed in there. And then when the flight is over, they say, ladies and gentlemen, would you mind when you exit to wait for the row in front of you to leave so that we can practice social distancing? And, you know, you want to laugh out loud. I mean, practice social distancing. You've jammed us into a sardine can, shoulder to shoulder, every row filled, 3 people in a row with 6 across. And now you're telling us, but social distance on your way out. I mean, it's a joke. So folks, I don't know what you can do with that. When I start taking your calls, you can tell me what you think about it. But this stuff is becoming absurd. It really is. It's becoming absurd. And I think I am more convinced now than I was when this started. And as you all know, I was convinced from the very beginning because I never shut our worship services down. And I would not have done if I thought that this was a real danger to our congregation. I would not have shut our services down. I simply wasn't convinced. I said, we'll follow the protocols, we'll wash our hands, we'll maintain social distancing. If anybody wants to wear a mask, they're happy. We're happy for them to do that, but we're going to have worship services. And we haven't had any problems whatsoever. There's been no outbreak in our church. So I've been skeptical about this from the very beginning. But wanting to acknowledge the importance of safety of others and respecting their concerns, you know, we did those protocols that we were called upon to do, okay? So, but we've had no problems. No problems whatsoever. So, and here again, I know that there are people who have gotten sick. I know it's a real disease, but here again, folks, we've got real diseases running around in our country all the time. And we've had other pandemics. But we haven't shut the whole economy down. We haven't had churches closing up, and we haven't had our businesses incapable of serving their customers. And we just haven't had the kind of craziness, the hysteria that we've had over this. At some point, this stuff has got to end. And maybe as the truth continues to leak out, people will finally just say, you know what? Enough. Enough. I mean, really, come on. Enough. We will do the things that we believe are prudent and wise, but we will go on with our lives. And so when we come back, I've got a couple other things I want to raise with you, and I want to take your calls. 888-589-8840 is the number. Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
One of the great surprises about God which I've learned to look for is His unobtrusiveness. We make all our plans concerning the coming of God, how God is supposed to act in history, what He is supposed to do. Then, when we have it all figured out, how He is supposed to come and act, we find Him doing exactly the opposite. God did this at Bethlehem. Certainly no one expected God to break into history in such a manner as that. A carpenter father, a peasant mother, and a manger for a crib. Everyone knew that God would come in a manner worthy of God, and the whole world would bow down to Him. But He did not, and they did not. God did this again in Joseph's carpentry shop in Nazareth. One who had such an important task as Jesus should surely receive better training than that afforded him at the local synagogue and more advantages than those of a common carpenter. And because he was only the son of a local carpenter, the people in the synagogue drove him out of town. They knew that no carpenter's son could be the Messiah. If only God would act like God, then we common folk wouldn't have such a hard time recognizing Him. We look for God in the great and powerful, but He comes in the small and humble. I worshiped once at the St. George Anglican Church in Jerusalem. It was a high church, very formal worship service. The music was beyond reach of the common person. The minister spoke above my level of comprehension. In general, it was a situation devoid of the things we generally associate with a warm service. But as I sat in that pew, a group of children passed by on the way to their seat. It was a group of half-blind children leading those who were totally blind to a seat where they could worship God. And I felt the greatness and grandeur of God when those children walked by. We look for God in the great and mighty, and He comes in the love of poor blind children. Truly the prophet was right when he wrote, "Your ways are not my ways, neither are your thoughts my thoughts." What is it about God which captivates us? It is He who was able to call legions of armies to His aid, chose instead to enter Jerusalem as a penniless prophet riding on the back of a donkey. He did not come on a great white stallion with sword in hand and fist doubled, ready to strike the first one who stepped in His path. But He came as a preacher of peace with no uniform but the seamless robe of a peasant and no power over men except the power given Him in each individual heart. This is one of the great surprises of God, His unobtrusiveness. Look for Him, if you wish, in the big and the high and the mighty and the great. But if you want to find Him, then you must search for Him in the least and the last and the lost.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
So only 6% of the deaths from COVID-19 are listed based upon COVID-19 alone. And 94% of the deaths have an average of 3 comorbidities. I almost can't get over that. I was suspicious, but that factual confirmation is actually staggering, because you just wonder the wickedness and the twisted nature of people who will incite fear and hysteria into people and then give them orders and commands about what they have to do. And it's all based upon information that is either not accurate, not complete, or outright deceptive, an outright lie. I mean, it is truly disgusting. And part of getting past COVID, I think, is really getting the truth out about it so that we can we can respond and manage our economy appropriately and get things back to normal as opposed to this craziness that's going on right now. Let me mention a couple of other things. I want to throw this in the mix. The number is 888-589-8840. Are you all familiar with critical race theory? Well, I saw an interview with Tucker Carlson. He was interviewing a guy last night, Chris Rufo from the Discovery Institute, and they were talking about the infiltration of critical race theory. And I just want to put that on the table because I want you all to understand something. Critical race theory comes out of Marxism, and it basically, critical studies is a Marxist communist critique of capitalist and free societies. When I was in law school, this was back in the mid-70s, there was a professor at Harvard Law School. He's still there, by the way. Name is Duncan Kennedy. He's got some kind of funded chair and all this now, but he was a pioneer of critical legal theories. And here's what critical legal theory says and how it relates to critical race theory. Critical legal theories essentially says that the law is not valid, because the law is simply an expression of the power of elites to control everybody else. In other words, the law that says, you should not steal, it's a commandment, but the law that prohibits larceny is simply a law that is written to protect those who have from those who don't, and that it has absolutely no moral force whatsoever. That's critical legal theory. That the law is simply a reflection of power relationships between people, not a reflection of any notion of truth or morality. Just a reflection of power relationships. So extrapolate from that, critical race theory basically is that the society, since quote unquote, using their language, folks, you all know I don't like this language, but for purposes of communication, that since white people have the power, all of law and culture reflects their power and is therefore racist. So it starts right at the beginning. The Declaration of Independence is racist. The Constitution is racist. All the laws are racist. All the businesses are racist. All the cultural institutions are racist. Everything about the society is racist because all of the society, the culture, the legal systems reflects the power of white people to exploit quote unquote people of color. Now that's sort of the thumbnail sketch of the intellectual foundation for what we're seeing in the streets right now. You saw this crowd go into Seattle suburbs and point flashlights in people's windows and command that they come out of their houses and give your house to us. You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. It's ours. You took it from us. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. I pay the mortgage. I made the down payment. In what sense do I owe it to you? It's like this stuff is preposterous. But that grows out of critical legal theory and critical, the law that protects. Of course, I would be exempted if I were liberal. But since I'm an American of African ancestry, but yet I'm a Christian, Bible believing Christian, and I'm conservative. See, I probably get class with quote unquote the white people, so they want to take my house too. And folks, that ain't happening. But they're out there screaming at people and telling them, give up your house. Because see, critical legal theory says the law that protects your house is not a moral right. It is simply a law that is intended to protect the powerful against the powerless. You see? And this, the whole notion of ownership is simply a concept that the powerful came up with to protect their stuff against those who don't have it. Now, folks, that is some messed up Marxist garbage. But that's what's infiltrated the minds of our young people because many of them are taught it. Remember, critical legal theories. Folks, I was in law school 40 years ago, and they were teaching critical legal theory then. and Duncan Kennedy was a pioneer of it. Now there are many more professors teaching it. Now Derek Bell, who was Obama's favorite professor and a mentor, he was a proponent of critical race and critical legal theory. See how the minds of people have been poisoned with this stuff? Look, let me get to your calls. 888-589-8840. So we got COVID-19. We got this crazy racial Marxist socialist communist ideology that's infiltrating the minds of our people, particularly our young people. And you got Nancy Pelosi parading around a salon, you know, with no mask on, telling everybody else that you got to wear a mask everywhere and you got to stay in and the salons can't be open. They're dangerous. But there she is, Queen Nancy, Marie Antoinette, American style, millionaire. Getting pampered and taken care of. Oh, their hypocrisy knows no bounds. Let's get to your calls. Let's see. Let's go first to David in Tennessee. David in Tennessee. David, welcome. Oh, I'm sorry. David in Texas. I misread that. David, you're in Texas.
Yes, I'm in Texas. Thank you, Bishop. I just, you know, you're talking about the planes, and I just have to laugh. I fly American and several others, and that's such a joke. I mean, you know, basically I look at it when I go overseas to the Middle East, I'm basically on a flying Petri dish for about 18 hours anyway.
Wow.
So, you know, that's the way I look at it. But yeah, some of the stuff that you know, the 6% that they're talking about, there's no doubt in my mind that COVID was a catalyst for more of those people. I know people who have gotten it, but the majority of the ones that have came down with it also had other problems that, you know, it kind of amped up their illnesses, and they did get over it. But we do know some people that passed from it. But again, it was not COVID in by itself. It was other problems like diabetes and respiratory failure and things of that nature. I mean, you have somebody who smokes and ends up, you know, smoking for 35 years and gets exposed to COVID. Well, you know, that's kind of what happens. Yeah. You know, I'm so glad to hear that you kept your church open. One of the things that's been frustrating for me is that where I'm at, our church just opened last week, and I've been visiting these smaller churches and, you know, being blessed to be able to gather in these other churches in another county because they didn't shut down. So, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, David, let me ask you one other thing. So you've had to wear a mask during all these flights, right?
Yes.
You were very hesitant about answering that one.
I
just find that to be miserable.
Let me tell you what I do to get people's dander up in the way. I have to wear a CPAP, and I carry a portable CPAP. And so I just put that on, and that just shuts them up because they look at me like I'm some kind of really ill person having to have a gas mask on.
Okay. All right, David. Thanks for the call. Folks, the number is 888-589-8840. We'll be back to take your calls in a moment.
Insanity seems rampant in our nation. Reason seems to have no voice in the marketplace. The American Family Association offers a tool by which you can be heard. The AFA Action Alert is an email opportunity to contact directly our representatives, entertainment sponsors, even corporations, saying we see them, offer a better direction, and when appropriate, acknowledge a job well done. Sign up today at afaaction.net.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham. Right now, our country is in trouble, and people are scared, people are afraid, and we see the violence and the injustices that are taking place. Only God can change this. This is a problem of the human heart.
If you'd like to pray with someone, call us any time of the day or night at 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683.
Call that number right now. We've got someone who will pray with you. talk with you and encourage you. God bless.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring. But one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
And he points to my Bible on my bookshelf and he said, "Emma, when was the last time that you spent time alone with the Lord in His Word?"
Emma Mae Jenkins on Focus on the Family Minute.
And now we went to church every Sunday. I was so involved in my youth group. I don't remember a time in my life that I didn't love Jesus and believe that He is who He says He is. And my dad, he said, "Emma, when Jesus comes back, I'm not going to be there standing with you holding your hand. It's just going to be you and Him. And He's either going to say, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant,' or 'Depart from me, for I never knew you.'" And that was very much appreciated as I look back on it, because it really gave me the space to just be alone with the Lord and search my own heart to see where I was at. I had to decide, what does Emma believe and what life do I want to live?
Encourage your teen to embrace their faith and make it their own. Hear more from Emma today at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Now here's an idea based upon what we're learning and as we grow in our knowledge and understanding of the communist Chinese Wuhan virus. Why don't we say anybody with, put out a list of various comorbidities. You know, if you've got cancer, if you've got diabetes, if you've got heart disease, if you get whatever, we recommend that you wear masks because we don't want you to become infected by others who might be infected. But if you have no comorbidities, then you don't need to wear one. How about this? How about if we say the restaurants are going to set aside a portion of their facilities for people with comorbidities who will be social distanced, so that they can't sit too close to one another, and the rest of you could just come in and eat as normal. I mean, if the people who are most vulnerable are masked and covered and social distance and all of that, I mean, it seems to me that's targeting the people who are vulnerable rather than making the lives of everybody miserable and keeping whole cities shut down. And that's just an idea off the top of my head based on the information that we are now learning. But no, we've got to have these broad sweeping rules. Everybody's got to be this and everybody's got to do that. And yet we're learning that everybody is not equally at risk, and you don't need to shut down the entire economy to deal with this. In fact, my understanding is there's some data and some research being done now to show that more people are dying as a result of the unintended consequences of an economic shutdown and all the attendant things that go with it than are dying of COVID. We're just not measuring those deaths. Well, if that proves to be so, I think that calls for a change in policy, don't you? The number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to Michael in Florida. Michael, you've been very patient. Welcome.
Hello?
Yes, Michael, you are on.
Yes, I have a couple of real quick comments. I live in Pinellas County in Florida, and about 3 weeks ago, we had a Trump parade where the boats, there must have been a couple thousand, 2,000 or 3,000 boats out there on the water, and there were Trump supporters and American flags everywhere. And I tell you what, I don't think I saw but maybe two masks the whole time, and people were shoulder to shoulder. They were screaming and hooting and hollering, and I was up there with the best of them. And I tell you what, that was one of the coolest things since sliced cheese. Americans are done with this. And one thing I want to say, too, about church, I find it very frustrating because a lot of churches I go to, they don't even want to talk politics because politics don't belong in church. And I get upset with that because the Bible is full of nothing but politics. And while we were at that Trump parade, I tell you what, you know, where there were cops all over the place, the worst thing you might have seen was maybe a very skimpy bathing suit and maybe someone drinking a beer, okay? But there were no fights. There were cops. Everybody was civil. We had a couple of Biden supporters go by and, you know, try and give us heck. But yeah, it didn't work.
Well, look, Michael, God bless you, and God bless all those Americans who are committed to enjoying their lives. And, you know, as far as the peace and the tranquility, you know, the Tea Party was constantly accused of being a bunch of angry people and violent. And yet, as the Tea Party national kind of demonstrations and gatherings began to wane, looking back, people realized these were some of the most peaceful, orderly, decent people. They cleaned up after themselves whenever they had some sort of event. There are no complaints whatsoever. You can't say that about these leftists because they go out and they leave mayhem and destruction and filth in their wake. So I'm proud of these patriots who know how to exercise their freedom in a responsible way. And so God bless you. You know, keep enjoying life, and then don't let these people, let these people turn your life into misery. Because look, that's what leftists want. They live off of misery. They're very, very unhappy people. Okay, let's go to Kelly in Arkansas. Kelly, welcome.
Hey, I appreciate your program so much. And on the COVID thing, your caller from Texas, he was on the money. But we really don't need to downplay it because, like he said, it's still that combination of the COVID with other underlying things, and the same amount of people died. I think maybe we might have handled it better like some of the other countries, but, you know, that's kind of the way I feel about it. I wish, you know, on Nancy, I'm a conservative, but I know when the Democrats took back the House a couple of years ago, all the Democrats in the House kind of ran against her. And as soon as they got in power, they put her right back in leadership. Yeah. You know, that's kind of, I'm a Democrat, I'm a conservative, but I'm a Christian more than anything else. And I really do appreciate it when you call people leftist and stuff like that, and since saying all Democrats are liberal baby killers, you know, because there's a lot of Democrats and Republicans that are maybe moderate or maybe don't fit into your category or my category. We don't fit in, me and you don't, but I love you very much. I appreciate your honesty.
Thank you, Kelly.
These issues, you know, we don't want to divide, but I mean, I know we're going to disagree on some things, but I appreciate where you're trying to go with this.
But Kelly, see, here's one difference too, and you tell me if you agree with this. It seems to me that there are people on the left, and you're a Democrat, so you're obviously not one of those people, who really hate our country. I mean, they don't have any respect for it. I mean, I get personally offended when people disrespect our flag, because to me, the flag is not conservative or Republican or left or right. It's a symbol of our entire nation. And it should not be denigrated because people don't agree with policies. I'm pro-life. I don't agree with the Supreme Court's decisions in Roe v. Wade, but I don't see why I should denigrate the flag because I'm angry about a particular policy issue. How do you see that? How do you see the Democrat Party and the level of apparent hatred that seems to come out of some quarters of it?
I don't know how to answer that because all the Democrats I know are either moderate. My dad's kind of on the left, but, you know, two-thirds of Democrats in Arkansas are just like two-thirds of the Republicans. They're against abortion. They're against gay marriage. You know, we love the flag. We love our country. But, you know, it seems like the Democrats are trying to be so broad-based that they've got a bunch of nuts that are, you know, kind of taking over things. And, you know, in Arkansas, we got a great Republican governor. We've had good conservative Democrats, just like the good governor down in Louisiana. I mean, it's a shame that the Democrats and Republicans have to go all the way to the right or all the way to the left to get elected anymore. And we've got, you know, we've just got some great people. But I agree with you pretty well on everything. I like what President Trump's done with Israel. I like all what right. he's done, you know, with abortion and everything.
Listen, Kelly, you got to call me earlier in the program sometime so that you and I can talk some more, because I would love to talk to you further about the Democrat Party. But thank you so much for the call, Kelly. We really do appreciate it. And let me just say, folks, we love Democrats. I would love for the two parties to express a mutual love for our country. You know, we used to be center left, center right, and compromise and work things out and try to come to you know, happy conclusions. But here's the only place I would diverge from Kelly. I think that the elites in the Democrat Party have gone so far left that they're unrecognizable as yesterday's Democrats. They really are more recognizable as leftists and socialists and Marxists. I mean, Bernie Sanders is a communist, folks. I mean, he's a communist. Now, of course, he doesn't call himself a Democrat, but the man is a communist. Bill de Blasio is a communist. So that's far afield from the Scoop Jacksons and the Harry Trumans and you know, folks of the past who you would describe probably as moderate. These people have gone, they've just taken leftist politics to a whole new level. Okay, you know what? I'm let me get right to the rest of you quickly and see if we can finish up these calls. Let's go to James in Mississippi. James, welcome.
How you doing this afternoon?
Doing great, James. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm calling about a story that I heard around the 20th of August about a camp in New York where they served over 500 children with their teenage staff and all that, and they didn't have one case of COVID-19. That was an ABC story, and I'm sure if it's still out there, it's buried deep somewhere. But that's a story that America needs to hear, especially when trying to get their children back to school. And I'm just, you know, I'm sure there's probably dozens of stories like that. I haven't heard anything about the bike rally in the Dakotas. You know, I haven't heard about any outbreaks there. So I'm thinking that, you know, this has just become too political.
Well, James, you are right. I will try to take a look at those stories and report on them, because you're right. That's part of the problem. I think COVID is being used by people in the far left to control folks and to I think, look, that some people, I really do believe, get a perverse joy out of being able to order other people around. And that's a sad commentary, but it's not new, is it? I mean, we've had that happening since time immemorial. And I think we've got some Americans who are imbued with that same malady. And we just need to get them out of office and have them go do something else. So let's, Abby, I don't have much time for you, but I didn't want to leave you hanging. So Abby, you are on for about 30 seconds. Welcome.
Hi, Bishop. I've tried to call multiple times. It's the first time I've ever got through.
Oh, I'm so glad you got through.
Well, I love listening to your show, but I'm a nurse. I just wanted to let you know that, you know, people in the healthcare field, even if, you know, they lean a little bit more left as far as the agenda that's being pushed about the coronavirus, they are worried about getting the vaccine for it.
Yeah.
Mostly because of the lack of testing. But I just wanted to put this out there. You know, a lot of people have said something about it being the mark of the beast. I don't know that it is. But who do you think is going to be the ones administering that? It's probably going to be our healthcare workers.
All right, Abby. Thank you so much for the call. Abby, I'm glad you got through. Call me again earlier when you can. I'd love to talk to you some more. I don't know about the mark of the beast stuff, but I do understand healthcare workers being more concerned because they're more exposed. Folks, God bless all of you. Thank you so much. In the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.